Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go and live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the Programs and Products page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Rocca Getz. Good morning. How you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Welcome to the show. It is an honor to have you on. So, Rocca, for the folks out there who may not necessarily know you, why don't you give them a little information about who you are and what you do?
Okay. Well, I'm the author of 39, as of today, a new book was just published today. Yeah. Wow. 39 children's books. And I think what's unique about these books is that they're basically all spiritual books, in the sense that the purpose of the books is to help children's souls to shine. Yeah. All of them. Even today's book, the book that just came out today, is a safety book. I have a few safety books. It's about Let's Swim Safely. So it sounds like it's not a spiritual book, but it's all about protecting children. And so if we don't protect our physical bodies as well, then we can't protect the souls that are housed inside of our physical body. So it's all an important thing. I've other books about personal safety, protecting children from sexual abuse. Yeah. All of these things I consider part of helping children spiritually, because if we don't protect their physical beings, what I learned about your life, Dr. Watson, I can't tell you how honored I am to be here, because I can't get over the trauma that you rose from, your resilience. It's really hard to rise from trauma. And that's why a lot of my books are about prevention too, because your soul is shining amazingly, but it's really hard. We lose a lot of souls in the process that can't make it through the trauma. So the more we can help children from the very beginning to shine, the better.
Rocca, yeah. I can't agree with you more. I'm very, very big on prevention. That's why I went into the school system. I was a principal, really, really big on prevention. And so kudos to you for making sure that our kids are getting what they need on the front end, and helping our parents get that as well. You know, so Rocca, if folks want to get in contact with you, what's the best way to connect with you?
Well, all of my books are on my Amazon author page. And if you go there, there's my contact information is there as well. So you can meet all my books in one spot on the Amazon author page and contact me if you like. Obviously I do presentations. Right now I've been zooming around the world into classrooms, in Africa, Australia, continents I've never been to during the pandemic, which has been awesome. Just like going around and reading my books to children. Yeah.
That is awesome. And again, I appreciate you so much with your willingness to do this, because it's blessing a lot of folks out there. We've had a number of guests on my show who have experienced a lot of childhood trauma. And I think they would have definitely welcomed some more of the preventative measures to keep them from experiencing that trauma. So again, I appreciate what you're doing. So Brock, as you know, my show is focused on bringing, amazing people like you on the show and having you kind of walk us through some of the most difficult times you've had, so our listening audience can kind of get a sense of a blueprint in terms of how to bounce back from some of the pain and go to purpose. So my first question is to you, Brock, what's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally?
Yes, the biggest obstacle in my life is overcoming food addictions. Wow. Now, this and how does it connect to the children's books? Is that I believe that addictions have a lot to do with a spiritual emptiness. We keep trying to fill that spiritual emptiness with other things. Why do we have that emptiness? Could be from a trauma in childhood, neglect, abuse, all kinds of reasons. We are made to have the emptiness. We're made to fill it, but we're made to fill it with spiritual nourishment, and we get sidetracked into things that bring us immediate comfort, like drugs, alcohol, food, gambling, sex addiction, you know, spending addiction. No matter what the addiction is, it brings a temporary comfort, but it leaves us even more miserable afterwards. So what I overcame was the food addictions by finally finding the spiritual nourishment that filled my soul.
And I appreciate you, your transparency and honesty and talking about your food addiction. Let's go back there for a moment. So what age were you when you were dealing with this food addiction, and how did it come about? What prompted the emptiness in your life that made you turn to food to kind of fill that void? What was happening in Braca's life beforehand?
Yeah, it's really interesting because unlike your life, which is very interesting, I had a very sweet childhood. Sure. We lived in this really small apartment in New York, and you know, I had two really loving parents. So what happened? At around age 12, I just had an increased awareness about life. Everything was fine. But I said, is this all there is to life? We just get up each day. We eat some food to go to work, to make more money, to eat food, to go to what is this all about? I think because I had a stable childhood, I was able to search for more. My parents were not into spirituality. They were basic, sweet, very humble people. But I felt this is not enough. There's something more. And I think because they gave me a good grounding, I was able to reach for more. So I went searching. I went searching into all types of religions, environmentalism, social justice. Obviously, I went into education. My parents didn't grow me up this way, but I started just studying everything, searching for meaning in life, and I ended up going to Harvard, which was like not the way they were thinking, but I was just like searching for knowledge and wisdom, you know?
Yes. And then how did that lead to a food addiction for you?
Oh, right. I left that out. Yeah. So what happened is so this emptiness, nothing was filling it completely. I found pieces of truth in religions, and I found pieces of truth in education, but nothing was really nourishing my soul completely. So in college, actually, I did some groundbreaking work at Harvard in, of course, food addictions. That's what I was studying as I was getting sicker and sicker behind the scenes. People didn't know that. I'm studying it. I'm getting an intellectual understanding, but inside, I'm getting worse and worse. By the time I graduated with honors from Harvard, I went on to medical school, and there I'm studying to be a psychiatrist. And again, I was felt so sick. I was doing bizarre behaviors, which go along with addiction, stealing, all kinds of crazy behaviors, and involved also with drugs and alcohol, people, all kinds of people. My morals were at a very low level. And yet on the outside, I look fine. I look like a success story. Inside, I was getting more and more miserable. So I went to visit a psychiatrist who was on the staff there. And this was the first person I told all the bizarre behaviors I was doing. They're like shameful behaviors that go with addiction. I told him what I was doing. And I was in between my first and second year of medical school. I was planning to go to Israel for 6 weeks. And it was a Japanese psychiatrist. And he said to me, you know, I think you feel crazier than you are. He said, I think when you go to Israel this summer, I think you're going to find yourself spiritually. Hmm. And he was right. I mean, I ended up going. And like my parents had told me, do whatever you want in Israel, but don't connect with this one guy I knew from childhood who became a, what they called a religious fanatic. So right away, of course, I connected with him, you know, and he took me to these schools where, as a late beginner, I could learn about my own heritage, which I really didn't know much about, which was Jewish. I didn't know much about Judaism. And I began to delve into the really ancient mystical wisdom of my own religion. And it immediately filled my soul in a way that nothing else had. Wow. Because it was, that's what my soul is meant for, you know. So when I got the spiritual nourishment that I was craving, then there was no longer, what I was doing was binge eating, like nonstop, like it was never enough. And I would, and that fluctuated with crazy dieting the next day. Like I'd eat two carrots and a yogurt because I had binged so much the day before. And there was nothing normal about the eating. It had nothing to do with a physical hunger.
Sure.
It was a desperate search to fill myself up. And eventually, my memoir, Searching for God in the Garbage, is about that. Wow. It's about how I searched in the garbage, literally and metaphorically, for what still had meaning that was being thrown away, and how I found it.
That's powerful. And again, thank you for walking us through that as well. You know, so at what point in your journey did you realize that your food addiction was an issue? Because many of us, we just go through life eating, especially here living in the States, we just eat. And some of us come to the realization that's a problem. Some of us never come to the point of this realization. So at one point did you come to realization that your eating habits were an issue?
Even before I went to the psychiatrist for help, I just knew it was controlling my life. Okay. I was barely able to study. It was like the focus of my day. It was using up my energy. Even though I had the intellectual capacity to see how crazy my behavior was, it didn't help. Mm-hmm. I couldn't control it. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the definitions of an addiction is when your life becomes unmanageable. And mm-hmm. and it had. Even though I did not appear that way on the outside. Sure. Another definition I saw about addictions is when you have a compulsive desire to keep doing something that's harmful to you. Right. And that's what I was doing. So that awareness kept growing. And in my memoir, you see the development of the food addiction and then how I healed. And you see that awareness growing. Yeah. Of my awareness of how strange my behavior was and why was I doing this. But even though I knew it was wrong, I couldn't stop it.
Yeah, and that's very well said. I appreciate you sharing those thoughts with us as well. So, you know, when you're going through this, what were some of the emotions and feelings that you were dealing with as you were binging, in some cases out of control with the food? What were some of the emotions that you were dealing with?
But I tell you that by the time I got to Israel, I really didn't want to go on with my life anymore. Mm. I felt like, what is the point? I have no morals. The world seemed totally great to me. Wow. Nothing mattered. I felt, is there any truth at all in the world? Is there any absolute truth? Are there any guidelines for living? Wow. I had been searching for like almost 10 years by then and not really getting anywhere. And I was just about ready to give up. That's what I was writing in my journal. Like, what's the point? You know, I remember all these drunk guys were driving me home. It didn't matter. My life didn't mean that much to me. That's ridiculous. Here I had so much. Why did my life mean so little to me? Because my soul, some souls are more exposed than others. I happen to feel that people that have addictions have very exposed souls. We are feeling that something's missing. We know something's missing from our lives and we want that missing piece. What I was missing was meaning in my life. Right. I had all the other stuff. I had the basics, you know? I had a sweet home. Why would I want more? And yet, from what I learned, from the wisdom that I learned, without meaning, life is meaningless, and I really didn't want to go on like that.
Yes, and that's very profound because many of us go through life searching, and I appreciate you mentioning the fact that your emptiness wasn't, you know, as a result of something your parents did do or did not do. But in just in life, sometimes we have a void that needs to be filled. It can only be filled by spiritual manners. What was the best piece of advice you received as you were on this spiritual journey to overcome this food addiction? What was the best piece of advice to you?
Yes, thank you so much. What I was searching for years was the purpose to life. I finally found that. First of all, in these schools that I went to for adult beginners, everybody was like me, like the other students were idealistic people that were searching as well. It was like so great because I had become a cynical person by then, which I was not by nature. And I was so happy to be again among fellow searchers of truth. And the teachers were wonderful people that lived their lives according to the wisdom that they were teaching. So I valued that so much, genuine people. And what was so interesting to me is that even some of the things they were teaching, I knew that at Harvard they were doing research on these topics now, $1 million grants to discover what was already in ancient wisdom. It was already available to us. And like, here it was. So, and again, it was being thrown in the garbage by people like, you know, and people weren't valuing this ancient wisdom. Because I believe, as you mentioned that beautiful word at the beginning, I feel like we were given instructions for living, which many people don't realize. And I finally found that treasure trove. And what this most amazing rabbi taught me, who's no longer alive, Rabbi Noach Weinberg, he taught the purpose of life, and this is so surprising, it doesn't sound like it makes sense, that the purpose of life is to experience the greatest pleasure possible in life. What? Like, what does that mean? To experience the greatest pleasure possible? But the greatest pleasure possible are the spiritual pleasures. Yeah. Those are the pleasures that are lasting in life. And even the physical pleasures, they are designed to uplift our soul. Like all the beautiful fruit and vegetables, it could have been that we just took a pill every day and that would have been enough, a tasteless pill. But no, everything is filled with so much pleasure for us. The beautiful fruit and vegetables that become ripe, when they're most ripe, they're brightest of all, the oranges, the apples, and they taste delicious. And they're nutritious. They're not just delicious. They're nutritious and delicious, unlike the processed garbage food, you know, that isn't Lighty designed by. What's not designed by the Almighty. So everything that was designed is for our greatest benefit. So, and all these, even the basic food, which brings us pleasure, is designed to not only uplift our bodies because it's nutritious, but also uplift our soul. So all the beautiful physical pleasures of nature and music and movement and dance, these are designed to uplift not only our bodies, but also our souls. And yes, and I learned about the pleasure ladder, which is 5 levels of pleasure. The bottom level are all the physical pleasures. The next level up is love, and the definition, according to this ancient mystical wisdom, is appreciating the virtues of another.
Yes.
That's love. And then up from that is meaning. That's what I was missing in my life, the next level up. And above that, creativity, when we put a part of ourselves into the world. Yes. And the highest level of pleasure is transcendence, when we see how we're all connected. We see how we're all connected to source. When we are blessed with clarity and we no longer feel that sense of estrangement and alienation, that's what causes addictions, that separation. When we recognize the connection, because each level up of pleasure brings us more and more connection to things, to people, to the community, to the world, and to the entire universe.
That is so important to have as well. So I appreciate you saying that as well. So, you know, Rocky, at your lowest point when you were going to Israel, man, what stopped you from giving up? Because you kept fighting, searching for that meaning. What was it that kept you going in that moment to say, I'm going to find out what the meaning of life is for Baraka Getz. What kept you going?
Well, you know, most of me wanted to give up by that point, and I'm sure you did too in your tremendous struggles in life. What the only thing that kept me going was my soul. That's what has resilience. It's the part of us. I mean, in your life story, it's inexplainable that you became who you did without having a soul. We don't really have souls. That's the truth. We don't have souls. We are souls. We're spiritual beings that have bodies. And we have bodies. We came from a world of souls. We've been put in our physical bodies to interact with this physical world, and we will return to being fully spiritual beings. So that spiritual force within us is what keeps us going. But I could have been gone from this world in a physical sense many times. Really, I was saved by the Almighty. I could have crashed with some drunken driver. I could have been killed by some guy also that was trying to rape me. You know, I mean, like, there's so many things that could have happened to me, and I was saved. You know what I mean? Again and again. And I feel I was saved for this, to be able to share the wisdom that I was blessed to receive with others and help them up from their addictions, wherever they are.
And you're certainly doing that. I really appreciate that. So as you look back, Baraka, on your journey, how would you say this whole ordeal shaped you as a person?
Completely changed me. Yeah. I mean, yes and no. I was a happy person to begin with, but then I became more and more miserable. I've gone back to that person of my childhood that was happy, but it's even at a deeper level. It's a much more lasting pleasure, because of course life is full of challenges. The challenges now do not send me to an extreme, you know, because of the basic beliefs that we have, that we are souls that are good. We are filled with goodness. We're connected to the infinite goodness. We have a part of the Almighty within all of us. So we are infinitely good within, with the capacity for infinite resilience. And we live in a world with a purpose that is really designed for our greatest benefit and pleasure. Those are the two things that have changed my life, so that even when, as I go through challenges in life, I can come back to that balanced place of trust and belief that it's for an ultimate good.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very well said. So, Brock, as you look back on your journey, would you do anything differently?
Would I do anything differently? I didn't know any better. That's all I could say. I really didn't know. I was searching and searching and ready to give up, because I wasn't finding that wisdom that I was craving. So I tried my hardest, and then it was obviously the right time, according to the Almighty's plans, for me to finally find what I was looking for. So I don't know what I could have done differently. I wished I hadn't done some of the terrible things I did, but eventually, you know, I tried to ask forgiveness from people I did terrible things to during that time, you know, when I later got the nourishment that I needed. Did the best I could. You know, we all try the best we can under circumstances.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Brock, you know, we're coming off a year where it's been very, very difficult for a lot of folks out there. People have lost loved ones, lost finances, lost jobs, lost material possessions, and even in some instances, they lost hope. What words of advice can you give those folks to let them know that a brighter day is to come?
Yes. I lost two very dear friends this year too.
Sorry.
And what can I get? Well, one thing to say is that I believe that this pandemic has pushed us forward spiritually, given us a tremendous push forward, because we now don't take anything for granted anymore. We don't take our health for granted. We don't take our lives for granted. We don't take tomorrow for granted, because we don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring anymore. We're all changed people. We could not even imagine how could the whole world change at once, basically in one day. And it did. We're all different people now. And hugs, a hug means something tremendous. I mean, gathering together with other people. Who would ever think that we could lose these things in one moment? It's like, it's hard to believe, but it happens. It's taught us gratitude, and gratitude is what gives us pleasure. Without gratitude, we can't go up the pleasure ladder. Without gratitude, we can't appreciate the natural gifts the Almighty has made for us. We can't appreciate another person. We can't appreciate our communities and the whole universe. It's taught us gratitude. So that's the tremendously bright side of all the tragedies we've been through this year. And the friends that I've lost and all the people that have lost dear loved ones, we will eventually reunite with those people. Those souls, we'll see them in the world to come, in the world of souls. But for right now, we're here to work on our own selves and become more grateful people.
Absolutely. Very, very great, really good advice there as well. And again, folks, I hope you've been inspired by Brock Agetz's story as well. Brock, if people want to get a hold of you again, what's the best way to contact you?
Oh, so my Amazon author site is the best thing because you can meet all of my books in one spot. There's, I think, over 40 books there now, and only one for adults. That's Searching for God in the Garbage, my story of how I became an Orthodox Jew and how I overcame addictions and all my children's books. And there you could find my contact information and other stuff.
Hey, folks, get out there and make sure you support Brock and read her books. Sounds pretty amazing. So, Brock, we've had a chance to talk about some tough stuff. Are you ready to have some fun now?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here we go, all right? So this portion of our show is called the Rapid Fire Purpose Questions, all right? I'm going to simply give you a question. I'm not going to elaborate on it. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer, okay? All right, here we go. So Brock, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
My dream was to find out the purpose of life, actually. Yes. And yeah, it's become a reality. Thank God.
Yes. What gives your life meaning?
What gives my life meaning is gratitude. Yes. Gratitude has changed everything.
Yes.
Yes.
If money wasn't an issue, what would you do with your time?
Oh, that's what I'm doing.
Exactly what you're doing. Absolutely. Good. Yes. What one word best describes you?
I want to say grateful, but I know I can become even more grateful. Yeah.
Yeah. But even more grateful. I love it. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
The problem of disconnection. Mm-hmm. People feel disconnected, and I want to help people feel more connected to each other and to the source of all.
I love it. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Read books.
Did you have a favorite book?
I love Dr. Seuss. I love the Dr. Seuss
books. Everyone, yeah,
my books are kind of in that style, a lot of my books. Yeah.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
I don't know. I'm so happy with how I'm spending my time right now. Absolutely. I'm loving it. You know, I'm loving giving presentations and spending time in nature, spending time with my family. And I love movement, taking dance classes and yoga.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. What is your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Well, I wanted to be a psychiatrist from when I was young, and I never went back to medical school. I didn't finish. You know, in fact, when I went for the 6-week vacation, I ended up staying 10 years in Israel. So it wasn't exact. I didn't complete. But, you know, I feel like instead of healing minds, I'm like into healing souls now. Yeah. That's how I see it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Who inspires you the most?
It was that rabbi that passed away. He was the biggest inspiration in my life, Rabbi Noach Weinberg.
Awesome. Yeah. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one. Surprised to learn about me. Oh, yes. You would never think I was an introvert, but I am.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the introverts have the most outgoing personalities. It's like my wife. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
I just want to keep doing what I'm doing, really. Yeah.
What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
No matter what. I thought that would be moving. I loved to put on music and dance. I just love it. Yeah.
What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
What do they say about me? Okay. I have a lot of grandchildren. Thank God. Yeah. What do they say about me? They enjoy being with me, and I like that. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. We have a great time together.
That's awesome. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. There you go. Good one. What sparks your creativity?
What sparks my creativity? I guess it's when I give classes to children and I tell them the ideas for my books, it comes down like rain into my brain. It's from the Almighty. I don't like want to write books. It's like the ideas come and then I have to write it, you know? Yeah. So that's what sparks my creativity. Yeah.
If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
I would want there to be more spiritual education. Mm-hmm. I know that there needs to be a separation between church and state, but there's ways to still teach spirituality without specifically teaching about any religion in a public school. Okay. Teach children that we're spiritual beings. It's so important. And that's what we've lost.
Yes, yes. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Who would I want to follow around? I'm gonna say the same rabbi again, who's no longer here, but that's okay, because in the Almighty's world, time doesn't matter, you know? So I'll just imagine that I could follow him around all day, see how he derives his energy and can reach into anybody's heart and soul. That's what I want to learn, more skills like that.
Good. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
More. I love these questions. These are such great questions. Good. What is the best compliment I've ever... When I've learned that my books have saved people's lives, it's just such a joy for me. Mm-hmm. I heard about like books that have helped children that are being bullied, how they can face the day again, go back to school. Because I've written Let's Appreciate Everyone about being sensitive to children with disabilities. And the children that have been protected from sexual abuse from reading my books. Yeah. And I've heard about this. I feel such joy that I could be a vessel in this process of helping.
Absolutely. I can see that big time there. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
I love to ask basic questions, but I can't say that I've never been afraid to ask. In some intimidating situations, I hold in my questions, but a lot, mostly I'm able to ask the most basic questions about things. That's what I love to ask.
Yeah, I love it. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of from my childhood? I remember that when I was in third grade, I wrote a poem that they read in front of like an assembly or something. Okay. It was about how when you read a book, it takes you anywhere. And I consider that like a foreshadowing that I was going to become a children's book author, you know?
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Starting third grade, I love it. What does success look like for you?
Success is when your soul is shining. Yeah. And it really, when you help other souls to shine, that helps your soul to shine even more. Yes. Yeah.
What are you most grateful for?
I am grateful for everything. I'm grateful for all the challenges in my life. I'm grateful to be alive and to be able to let my soul shine. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful that, each day when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we say, our prayer is, I'm grateful that you returned my soul to me this day so I could have another day here.
I love it. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
What the purpose of life is. Yes. That we're here to experience the greatest pleasure possible. We really don't realize that so many people think we're here to be miserable or that challenges are here to make us miserable. No, it's all for our ultimate benefit. It really is. And just keep bringing more and more pleasure into your life through gratitude, for being grateful for what you have already in your life.
I love it. And last but not least, Braca, how do you want to be remembered in history?
As someone that helped in this process of sharing the wisdom that we are spiritual beings here temporarily, just here in our bodies, which clothe our souls, but we are essentially spiritual beings here to shine, to uplift our souls, to nourish our souls. And that's it's a pleasurable experience. It can be a pleasurable experience if we let it be. And that, how to do that is through gratitude.
Very well said. Braca, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job. Awesome job. Awesome job.
Well, you are amazing. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be here with a person like you. I just hope that your message reaches worldwide, because you are the example of a person that has just risen above the most terrific, gigantic traumas. And you are so shining. Thank you.
I appreciate that. I paid Braca to say that out there, folks. I really appreciate her saying all those great things about me. I really appreciate it. Hey, Braca, folks out there, hope you guys have been very inspired by Braca's story, as I have been. So, Braca, last but not least, our show kind of focuses on two things, purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Okay. I have a great quote from Jeff Bezos. This is the CEO of Amazon.
Yes.
He says, everything I have ever done has started small.
Yes.
Amazon is like the biggest thing.
Absolutely.
It started, everything he's ever done has started small. All you need is one small thing. If you're feeling miserable, do one joyful thing. One joyful thing leads to another joyful thing. Nourish your beautifully, infinitely beautiful soul. Absolutely. One small thing at a time.
Yes. Great advice. I love it. I love it. Love it. Folks out there, please make sure you reach out and support Braca Goetz and her 39 books out there. She's doing a great job. Connect with her. So if you're someone out there and you're an overcomer, you have an amazing story, we want to hear from you. You have to go to tawatson.com, share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download it, rate it, share it with your folks on social media. And again, I want to thank all you guys for joining me today out there. Thank you, everyone. God bless. Peace and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.